The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about my land and sea trip. That's coming up on this episode 136 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 136. So I have recently returned from a land and sea trip. And by that, I mean I stayed on site at Disney World for a few days and then went on a DCL cruise, my first one. So I want to get into the details of that in just a minute. I do also want to remind you to follow on social media because that's where I like talking to you guys a lot. And I also want to thank you for leaving messages from the last podcast. I told you that I wanted to start doing first-timer interviews more often because that's what I used to do and just had kind of gotten out of that because of scheduling difficulties. So a lot of people did leave messages about their trips. And so for the people going in the next couple months, I've contacted the people that I would like to interview for that. I do have the messages left by the rest of you for later dates, but I'll be in contact as we get closer to those. I don't want to schedule anything too far out because a lot can change between now and then. But for the people going in October and November, I have contacted them. And so I look forward to you hearing those interviews. I asked people to leave basic information at the SpeakPipe number, and they did that, plus left so many kind words. And I, you know, you've heard the saying, you never know what people are going through. And it's been a difficult time recently for some various reasons. And it's just, you know, when I click play on those messages to hear your trip information, it was so nice to also hear such nice words, and they couldn't have come at a better time. So I appreciate that. And I look forward to getting back into the first timer interview habit. What else? I think that's it. Oh, SpeakPipe. That's what I was going to mention. SpeakPipe, which is just the tool that I use for voicemail messages. Another great use for that right now is I'm going to do another end of the year show where I answer non-Disney questions, because people will often ask me business questions and, you know, just non-Disney things, that it's a great time to just sort of compile them all for an end of the year show and answer them all at once. So if you happen to have those kind of questions, feel free to leave those on the SpeakPipe account, which you'll find the link in the show notes, and you can use your computer or your phone to do that. And then I will put those together for an end of the year show, but it's a good time to get started. The weather's cooling off. It's starting to feel like we're getting into holiday season. So I'm starting to think about some of those end of the year things, including that. So go ahead and do that. And you can also, as I said last time, leave your information if you'd like to be considered for a first timer report. Speaking of business things and non-Disney questions, the recent trip that I was on was a conference for the agency that I work with, Key to the World Travel. They do an annual conference called KeyCon, or in the case of this year, it was called CCon because there was a C component. And it's basically for the agents. The agents come in town. It's a chance for everybody to get together, do fun things, learn some things. And I was lucky enough to have been there. I was there very briefly the first year, and last year I attended, and then this year I was able to come with the other prep school girls. So Casey from DLR Prep School, Melanie from DCL Prep School, and Heather, my assistant, we were all there along with lots and lots and lots of agents and the owners of the agency. So it was very much a work trip, but of course it's Disney related, so it's also very fun. A lot of our friends that we know were there, friends who are also agents. And so it was just a really good chance to all sort of get to know each other. And so when I tell you that if you submit a quote request through my site, that it goes to them. I know who it's going to. I have met them. Many of them I've hung out with. I know personally, and I have every confidence that they are going to handle your trip well. And so this conference is just one great way of sort of maintaining that relationship between us. And so I was really looking forward to it, and I knew it was going to be a fun trip. So it started off at the Contemporary, and I have stayed at most Disney World resorts, but I had not stayed at the Contemporary, which was strange to me because I'm at the Contemporary every single time I'm at Disney World because the monorail goes through it, and I usually end up riding the monorail, and because I like the restaurants there. So I feel like I've stayed there, but I hadn't. This is actually my first time. We were lucky enough to have a room in the main tower, as opposed to a garden view room, which is in a separate building outside of the main tower. And we had a bay lake view. So our balcony overlooked the lake. It wasn't toward Magic Kingdom. But it was fantastic because we could open our room doors and go on the balcony and just view water and a peaceful scene, or we could open the main door to our hotel room and watch the monorail whiz by. And there was also a view through the Contemporary of the theme park. So definitely didn't feel like I was missing out on anything by being on the Bay Lake side. It was a great view no matter which way you went out of the room. All the rooms in the main tower have balconies, which is, I think, fantastic. And I think when you're in a hotel room, especially with more than a couple of people, the balcony can serve as its own room in a sense, because it's a place where you can close the door and sort of shut off. You can take time to read for a few minutes or just have some peace and quiet. And I especially think when you have young children that is super helpful. So having a balcony in the Contemporary main tower built rooms is very convenient. In our case, it was just the two adults. It was Heather and I in our room. I really like the rooms. They're very spacious, and they have a nice big desk area, and they do have the balconies, and it's really nice to be able to open the door to go out and see the monorail, which never got old, by the way. I was giddy every time I could open it and look out and see the monorail. And there are lots of good dining options right within the Contemporary. Chef Mickey's, which I think is really fun for families with young children because the classic characters are there. I think having the monorail there is fun. I think Contempo Cafe, which is the quick service, is fantastic. California Grill happens to be our family's favorite restaurant. That is at the top of the resort. And then you have The Wave, which to me, if I had to make a list of most underrated things at Disney World, The Wave would be on the list because it's good food, good service, easy to get into. And you have all that right in the same building. In addition, you can walk to Magic Kingdom, which is an incredible perk because nobody else can walk to Magic Kingdom. Everybody else has to either take a bus or monorail or ferry or, those are the only options, bus, monorail, or ferry. Even if you drive, you have to park and take a bus, monorail, or ferry to get over there. So being able to walk is just so convenient. It saves a lot of time. And you are guaranteed that I did not miss the welcome show at Magic Kingdom. And whenever I have stayed at other Disney World resorts, the bus schedule has made me sometimes miss the opening show. And that makes me so mad because I love it. But when you're walking, there's really no excuse. So I definitely got to catch that, and I uploaded the video to Facebook. So anyway, loved staying at the Contemporary. I'm not surprised I loved it because I have spent so much time there, but I liked it even more than I thought. My only catch with staying there is that the rooms are super modern, and they kind of look like any hotel, any updated hotel. They're not like really fun or anything like that, but they're modern and well appointed. But if you're looking for super fun, other hotels are going to have more of that. But I just think overall it's a great place to stay if you consider the dining, the monorail, the proximity to Magic Kingdom and all that kind of stuff. So really love staying at the Contemporary. While we were on land, we had a few different things that we did as a group. We had a whole day of meetings where we were all in a conference room, and some of the senior agents did presentations, which I learned some things from. And then all of the prep school girls did presentations about different things. So that was hopefully helpful to them. And so we had a whole day of meetings. We also did a scavenger hunt through Magic Kingdom where we separated into teams and we all had to find things, take pictures of those things. And then a winning team was crowned. So there were lots of different things. We also had a dessert party at Hollywood Studios. It was a private party just for this group, which was really interesting. It was kind of sketchy because rain was threatening to cancel Fantasmic, which then, of course, would cancel our party or at least the Fantasmic viewing part of it. But it did get to go on because Fantasmic was not canceled. It was just a little delayed. So that was really, really a fun party to have. I think the next event that I'm going to have will be something like that, a dessert party, either for Illuminations or Fantasmic, or fingers crossed, maybe even Rivers of Light will open and it'll have a dessert party option that will be available to book someday. But anyway, after all that on land and a great stay at the Contemporary, then it was time to head to Port Canaveral, where we were heading off on a 3-day DCL cruise. And as it would turn out, it would be the last cruise before Hurricane Matthew came through and did some damage. So we snuck in just before that. So this was my first DCL cruise. I have been on a cruise with my family many years ago, about 9 or 10 years ago, where the four of us went on a Carnival cruise out of Tampa for a week. And while we liked the cruise, we really came away thinking we're probably not cruise people. Like, it's just the rhythm of the ship just did not fit us very well with sort of being, you're on the ship and restricted to the activities there. And then once you can get off, you're on a schedule. And it often is hard to get on and off the ship because at some ports you have to tender on small boats. So it can take a little while. So we kind of came away from that thinking we're probably just not cruise people. But DCL has always been intriguing to me because there's a Disney component. And I thought, well, if anybody's going to do it well, it will be DCL. Last year, during KeyCon, I was able to take a ship tour. That was an element of last year's KeyCon and learning things. And I fell completely in love. It was, I think, about a 5-hour tour. And I fell completely in love with the ship as we got to tour because I couldn't believe the details and all of the different elements of the ship that were so Disney were, it was just amazing and clearly on another level from other cruise lines. So I kind of went into it knowing how it was going to look. And I kind of had an experience with a cruise, but I wasn't, you know, sure how it was going to go overall. So first things first, the service from the DCL, I keep wanting to call them cast members, but I think they're called crew members, was amazing. They're just so kind and so helpful and top notch, like the best that I've really ever seen from a Disney cast / crew member. So, just a great way to start by people being so helpful. And another thing that is immediately noticeable is that the decor and the details of the ship are so gorgeous. Like, it is definitely Disney, but it's so pretty. And there are just so many details that make you feel like you're really a part of something. And DCL is not cheap. So the fact that, you know, you really feel like you're getting what you paid for, it just feels great, looks great. Lots of details to observe. Thirdly, the food was amazing. And I don't tend to like buffet food usually. There's a few exceptions to that. And any kind of food that's served en masse, you know, you have to have expectations that are set, you know, because how good is it going to be? But the food was amazing across the board. Like, could not believe how tasty it was. It really, there were very few exceptions to that. You know, if you looked at the menu and just picked whatever you wanted, you could almost be guaranteed that it would be delicious. In addition, it was very generous. I don't know if it's standard on cruise lines to be able to do this, but you could order more than one entree, and there was just a lot of, you know, options. So even if you didn't like the thing that you got, you could get something else. So, or if you really liked it, you could order another. But that was really a nice surprise. And I have been eating fairly healthy for a little while. And so I was a little nervous going into the cruise about what my options would be, but there were plenty of options. And I came home without having gained any weight, but still had a great time and had plenty of food to choose from. All sodas are included on DCL. I believe you have to pay for those extra on other cruise lines, so it was nice that they were included on the Disney cruise ship. And wine, in addition, if you want to buy wine, it was very reasonable by the glass. I am used to, at nicer restaurants or really almost any restaurant, paying $10 to $15 a glass or more when you want to add it to your dinner without ordering a whole bottle of wine. But most of the wine was around, I don't know, $6 a glass, super reasonable. So it was really easy to order without, you know, wincing at the price tag. So that was a nice surprise. And of course, I did order a little bit of that to go with my dinner, because that's one of my favorite things in life is to have wine with my food. But it was really affordable. So I was really surprised by that. Let's see what else was interesting about the cruise. Oh, we did fish exchange, which is basically you hang some pockets on your door and you have some gifts that you deliver. And we all ahead of time had exchanged within our group a list of people who were participating in this gift exchange. And so every time we would come back to our room, there would be gifts in our pockets that we had hung out. And then we also had to take the time to go and deliver our gifts to everybody else. So that was really fun. It is a creative, cute way for people to get involved. Our group was a little too large for a group. We had 42 people, I think, in our group. So it took a long, long time to deliver them. And we ended up coming home with just a huge bag of gifts that had been delivered. I think a more typical number is maybe around 15 or 20. So we kind of just had too large of a group, but it was a fun element. It's sort of like Tinkerbell gifts, which some people, you know, do at Disney World, but it was for adults on the ship. So just, it was fun to sort of be the recipient of the gifts. We did go to Castaway Cay. Castaway Cay is, I think, the reason that a lot of people do DCL trips, because it does stop at Disney's own private island. And it is really, I'm actually wearing my Castaway Cay shirt right now. I'm still in that mode. So Castaway Cay, there are a few things that are just amazing about it. First of all, they built the island so that you can get right on and off the ship without tendering at all. So the ship literally pulls up and you can walk off, which makes it really convenient. I told you earlier that tendering is one of the things I don't like about cruises because of the time involved. But at Castaway Cay, you can get right off or right on. So that was really nice. It does have Disney. It's weird to be around sand and the beach and also have characters and Disney music playing and stuff. It's just, I mean, I guess I knew that ahead of time, but it was just weird to be there and sort of experience it. They do provide food on Castaway Cay, just like they would on the boat. So it's just kind of a big buffet. Maybe kind of similar to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue at Fort Wilderness, where it's sort of outdoors and you find a place underneath a covered structure to eat your food, but it's all provided there. We are also lucky enough to have a cabana, which is not the norm, and we were super lucky, but we were in a cabana, which has to be reserved ahead of time, and that meant that we had a covered shelter, which came in handy during a downpour and to get out of the sun, obviously. But in the cabana, we had drinks and like water and Diet Coke and stuff like that. And we had cold towels and a fan, and we could push a button and somebody would come and we would, you know, ask them for refills of drinks or, you know, whatever it is that we needed. So it was really nice to have our own space because we were protected from the elements and we had a bit of privacy. But that is a huge luxury. And I know that most people don't get to do that. So that was super lucky. Anyway, it was a really fun day to sort of hang out there. We did get bitten, all of us that got in the water. We got bitten what I think it was called sea lice. I'm not super familiar with this, but it felt like little mosquito bites all over our legs. So that is something to look out for. I think they sell something you can apply to your skin to prevent that, but that is something that we all encountered. It, you know, like a mosquito bite, it's initially very annoying and then it goes away after a little while. But that was just kind of a surprise to those of us who had no idea what was happening. But that was, I assume that happens in lots of places, but just something that we happened to run into on this trip. So as we were about to wrap up our Castaway Cay day, a downpour came in. And so we all got back on the ship much more wet than we had been all day because a downpour had hit us and just doused us. And of course, after we left the island, then Hurricane Matthew came in and has done lots of damage to lots of, you know, areas around there. So we were lucky to have the time that we did while we were there. I thought before this trip that I would probably be booking a bounce back cruise for my family. And basically, there aren't a whole lot of ways to save on DCL cruises. But one way that you can save is by booking while you're still on board, and then you get a certain percentage off a future cruise. You don't even have to say where you're going. You can just book a placeholder cruise and put down a deposit. And I had thought that I was going to do that. But it became apparent that even on DCL, I didn't feel like cruising was our thing. I just don't think that we are cruisers. And if DCL cannot convince me to be a cruiser, then I don't know that anybody can. So I just didn't end up doing it. So I think that if cruising and the rhythm of cruising and the amenities and, you know, just that sort of way of traveling makes sense for you, I think you cannot go wrong with DCL. It's just for me and my family, I don't think that we are cruisers. So after now going on a couple of cruises, including DCL, I'm sort of fully convinced of that. But anyway, good trip overall. Happy to have been able to stay at the Contemporary and go on a cruise and spend time with friends and get to know more agents and all that kind of stuff. But now I'm back and we're back to real life and trying to get some work done. It's a hard re-entry. If you've ever been on a Disney World trip and come home, it's a hard re-entry. And that really doesn't ever get any easier, especially after a week with so much going on. So it was just a fun and work all at the same time. So anyway, that is sort of a recap of my land and sea vacation. And I hope that was just at least a little bit helpful. I do want to give you a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. And my quick tip is this. If you are going to Disney World and you are thinking about sleeping in and trying to do it or doing a park in the last part of the day, delayed arrivals and tiered fast passes do not go together very well. So let me explain this. Hollywood Studios and Epcot have fast pass tiers, which means you have to pick one fast pass from the first group and then two fast passes from another group. And in the first group are the headliners generally, such as Toy Story Midway Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Frozen Ever After, Soarin', you know, the most popular rides. And then your other ones are from tier two. In order to effectively use a tiered fast pass system without waiting a whole lot, you would want to book one fast pass for one of those headliners. And then you would want to do the other headliner or headliners at park opening if you don't want to stand in a long line. So if you want to do a sleeping in day, or if you want to do a half day at a park, I would suggest that you do it at Animal Kingdom or Magic Kingdom because they do not have tiers. Animal Kingdom is the easiest because you can get fast passes for all the main headliners there and then do everything else standby for the most part. Magic Kingdom is a little trickier because there are so many options, but it doesn't have tiers. So that is my advice if you happen to want to do a late arrival. If you want to do a late arrival at Hollywood Studios and Epcot, then I would suggest just modifying your expectations. You're probably not going to be able to do all the attractions if you do a late arrival, but you can do some. So you can book some fast passes ahead of time and just be willing to give up the others unless you want to wait in a really long line. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can look in your podcasting app or go to the website, click on podcasts at the top and look for episode 136. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.